Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and this morning we're going to return to our special feature in which we read, but not this time from the Rockcliffe Review. We're going to read a little something different. I'm holding in my hand a little publication called Seek the Old Paths. Now that comes from Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, where the prophet said, "Stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, and walk therein." This publication is put out by the Church of Christ at Leoni, and you pass that church on the left when you're going on your way from McMinnville over to Woodbury, and the preacher there's a good friend of mine, Garland Robinson. Garland Robinson had heard me speak on marriage, and he'd been running a series of articles on what the church is not, and asked me if I would write some articles on what marriage is not. So I wrote him 6 articles, 4 on what marriage is not, and 2 on what marriage is. And this is the first of those first 4. Marriage is Not, number 1, by Bill Boyd. And then this caption, "Marriage is older than sin. If it had not been for sin, there would be no need for the cross, for the gospel, or for the church. But there would still be a need for marriage. That is how fundamental marriage is to God's plan." Now for the article itself. Marriage is not of man. It is of God. This is what we must remember. Those who forget this are those who are most ready to embrace all kinds of shameful and degrading perversions. When the sons of God got to thinking that marriage was for them to treat as they pleased, they took them wives of all they chose, Genesis 6 and verse 2. Lamech did this. He took unto him 2 wives, Genesis 4:19. It did not make him a happy man. Lamech became vain and violent. He sang a song about himself. "Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold." Genesis 4:23-24. Lamech sang about having 2 women, about fighting and killing, and about the hurt that he brought upon himself. This may be the first country music song. When Jesus was asked about marriage, he said, "Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning?" Matthew 19:4. And for the standard he said, "From the beginning." Matthew 19:8. Jesus did not say the sexes evolved into male and female over millions of years. God created them, male and female, at the beginning. God's plan for marriage was from the beginning. Therefore, God's plan for marriage is older than the gospel, older than the law of Moses, older than Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and older than Noah. To use a common cliche, marriage is older than Methuselah. In all seriousness, marriage is older than sin. Consider that for a moment. If it had not been for sin, there would be no need for the cross, for the gospel, or for the church. But there would still be a need for marriage. That is how fundamental marriage is to God's plan. When Jesus was asked about marriage, he quoted from both Genesis 1 and Matthew 19:4, where he quoted from Genesis 1:17, and from Genesis 2, Matthew 19:5, where he quoted from Genesis 2:24. Jesus did not speak of these things as though they were myths and fables or allegories. Moses said that Adam spake the words of Genesis 2:24, but Jesus attributed the words of Adam to God himself. Matthew 19:4-5. And this is where we read Adam saying, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the man. And therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Adam was speaking the words that were given to him of God. Jesus added, "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Matthew 19:6. Notice how Jesus called the married what God hath joined together. That is why we may boldly say marriage is of God. The marriage covenant is not just a covenant between a man and a woman. It is also a covenant between both of them and God. Marriage is not just a civil union. It is a sacred spiritual covenant. God approved a matrimony as holy matrimony. I've heard it said at weddings, "That was a marriage made in heaven." In truth, every legitimate marriage is made in heaven, and every illegitimate marriage is made in hell. There are legitimate marriages, and there are illegitimate ones. Remember how John the Baptist said to Herod concerning Herodias, "It is not lawful for thee to have her." Herod's marriage to Herodias was illegitimate. It was not lawful for him to keep having her, Matthew 14:4. It is common for preachers to say in marriage ceremony, "By the power invested me by the state of," and then they name whatever state that they are in, where they're getting married and where they got that marriage license. "By the power invested in me by the state of," well, if that's in Tennessee, we'd say in the state of Tennessee, "I now pronounce you husband and wife." Now, that's good enough for a civil union. It is broadly recognized that marriage is important to the well-being of a society. That is why there is a legitimate civil interest in a civil marriage. However, because Jesus referred to the married as what God hath joined together, I use a different approach when officiating a wedding. I explain to the bride, groom, and all others present that since marriage is of God, then we will ask God himself to join them together in a prayer. And then when I say, "Amen," then in faith we will know it is done. I do this because I want all in the assembly to know that marriage is not of man. Marriage is of God. Well, that's the reading from Seek the Old Paths. This is volume 34, number 1. This came out in January of this year. And you can request that this publication be sent to you. You need to find and write Garland Elkins. I'll tell you one of the best ways to, or Garland Robinson, one of the best ways to do this is to go to their website. It is seektheoldpaths.com. And if you'll go to that website, seektheoldpaths.com, they'll explain to you how you can have this publication sent to you. It comes out pretty much on a monthly basis. Now, I'm going to return now to our regular lessons. In doing it, I need to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we're in the midst of a study about that time that Jesus spoke with that woman at the well in John chapter 4. And I want to read to you verses 31 through 34. Here we read, "In the meanwhile the disciples prayed him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not. The disciples therefore said to one another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to accomplish his work." Let me read to you from Elam's notes, and these are Sunday school notes he wrote for the Sunday schools of January 24th, 1926. "Having returned with the food that they went to purchase, and the woman having gone into the city to tell her neighbors about the wonderful prophet she had just met, who must be the Christ, his disciples prayed Jesus to eat. But he declined, saying he had meat to eat they knew not of. They did not understand his meaning, and said to one another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Then he answered, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to accomplish his work." It was Jesus' mission on earth to do God's will. He declares of himself, "I am come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me," John 6 and verse 38. His judgment was righteous, because he sought not his own, but God's will, John 5 and verse 30. So in his severest trial and deepest sorrow, he prayed, "God's will and not his be done." There was no unrighteousness in Jesus, and he was true in all things and to all persons, because he sought not his own glory, but the glory of God, John 17, 18. In his consuming desire to do God's will and accomplish God's work, he lost sight of his hunger and of his own comfort. Filled with the Spirit, Christ's disciples today lose sight of their physical comfort and appetite in their burning desire and earnest efforts to save souls and to accomplish God's work otherwise. Let us learn, too, the wonderful lesson that the more fully people seek to do God's will and not their own, and to glorify God and not themselves, the more nearly righteous and just they are, will all others and in all company, being governed by the will of God, renders people righteous, just, merciful, of sound mind, and of sound judgment. We need to try this. We read in John 4 and verse 35 that Jesus said, "Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white already unto harvest." It was 4 months at that time until the grain harvest, and the grain could not be harvested until that time had come. But looking upon the Samaritans ready to receive him as the Messiah, he declared to his disciples that the fields were white already unto harvest. On another occasion he said, "The harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few." And he exhorted disciples to pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest. John 10 and verse 2. And you may want to look at also at Matthew 9, verses 36 through 38. There is a crying need today of the plain, simple, all-powerful, soul-saving gospel of Christ and of men to preach it into all the world. Hence, there's a great need of faithful and true and righteous and godly laborers who are satisfied with the wages Jesus here mentions. God's way of obtaining such favors is to pray him for them. Note, God's way of obtaining such labors. Note that the harvest is his, and he must send into it for such laborers as he desires. Jesus declares the laborer is worthy of his hire, and therefore this is true. But God's way of obtaining more laborers is not to increase carnal pay. Some will do anything for money, and even preach, but few will preach the gospel fully for the love of men's souls.